We're going to have a closer look at children's literature now with Dr. Belle Alderman. She is the director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. Belle, welcome back to Afternoons.
Thank you, Paula.
Today's topic reminds me of, I remember being in a library with a mother and a small child who was a little boy. And his brother was really into trains. And this other little boy, I'm not sure what his name was, whenever she suggested a book, his question was always, is there a dog in it? You get some kids who are just fascinated by animals. Animals are their thing.
Well, for us adults as well, I think. And the relationship that we have with animals just means that they're part of our lives.
I've got this thing with movies with dogs in it, Belle, where I need to know whether or not the dog dies. Thankfully, there is a website dedicated to letting people like me know whether or not the dog dies in the movie. Because if the dog dies, I don't want to see it. Is there a book version of that?
not well, there is one towards the end, but it's an important book.
Okay. Well, look, I'll put my big girl britches on and I'll try my best to stick with it. But so we're looking at books today that sort of include dogs, birds, sheep, tigers. What's the first book that you pulled out for us, Belle?
The first one I have is such a common experience for children. You can see that the illustration really has a very human touch to it. Here's a little boy. He's just dying for a dog. Mommy, please let me have a dog. And you know what they're going to say? You're too young. When you're a little bit older, you can have a dog.
When you're responsible.
Yeah, when you're responsible, when you can look after the dog, when you can feed him properly, when you can help him when he makes a mess. Well, in this case, the parents do the responsible thing and say, not yet. But Billy, all of a sudden, becomes just like a dog. He walks on his all fours. He barks like a dog. He runs after sticks like a dog. And even when his dad takes him for a walk, he almost looks like he's going to pee like a dog on the fence. His dad says, "Don't you dare." And then,
too far.
Yeah. The next door neighbor has a wonderful bunch of dogs, and he falls in love with the dog, and the dog has puppies. And, oh, you know, 8 weeks later, you know what happens when you have puppies. The puppies go to a new home. So Billy watches as each one is taken to a new home. He's very sad. And I mean, but you and I know that this book is going to end okay, right?
I hope so. What happens?
Well, what happens in this book is, lastly, he goes to sleep with his dog. That's the mother dog. The pictures are just so charming and such a wonderful feeling. And at the very end, his parents give him one of the little puppies.
It's got his
and
own
he
little
says,
puppy.
And I will love you forever and ever. Isn't that the most beautiful?
Because you do love them forever.
Yeah. So this is called When Billy Was a Dog.
Yes.
And it's by Kirsty Murray, who normally writes young adult fiction. So she's recently done two picture books. She's a marvelous writer. She's certainly gotten inside the mind and heart of a child, I think. And it's illustrated by Karen Blair, who really is just perfect for this book, I think.
So what age group do you think for When Billy Was a Dog?
Well, when do you start wanting to have a dog? When you're 3 or 4?
Yep.
But the text is a little bit long for a 3 or 4 year old. So, you know, 5 and up.
Okay. That's When Billy Was a Dog by Kirsty Murray. We're talking about books that involve critters, creatures, dogs, birds, that kind of thing. You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, and with you is Dr. Belle Alderman, Emeritus Professor of Children's Literature and Director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. So next, you've got a bird book for us.
I absolutely do. And this is by two well-known Aboriginal people, Sally Morgan, we all know from My Place. And Sally Morgan has 3 children who are all involved in writing and illustrating children's books. So that's a wonderful family pursuit. And this particular illustrator, Johnny Wakatacha Malebir, I may be mispronouncing that, he has won a very special award, the Kristen Indigenous Illustrator Award, for new illustrators or people who are up and coming in the field that are Indigenous. And it's offered by a foundation that's giving the money through Mugabala Books, which is really the outstanding publisher of Australian Aboriginal children's books. They've been going for 30 years, which is a long time for an Aboriginal press. There's only two others that specialise in children's books, RAD Press, which is in the middle of Australia, and Black Ink Press. But Margabala Books is quite exceptional because they hunt for new talent. They hunt for new people. And this one is an extraordinary...
Are they just children's books?
They're just children's books.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they have published a book by Bruce Pascoe, which was originally written for adults,
yes.
But he's rewritten it for children. The one that I think I talked
about. Yeah, the emu.
Yes. So they do those, but you can see how their main reason for being is to inculcate, you know, the ideas and the traditions of the Aborigines so that we all have a better understanding.
Yeah. So with the what are the illustrations like in this one?
I think these
Little Bird's Day.
Definitely have an Aboriginal feel to them,
yes.
But they're quite plain and simple, but extraordinarily striking. And it's basically a very rhythmic, poetic text that's by Sally Morgan. And it says, just one page, here comes sun, rising and shining. Time to wake, little bird. Time to sing the world alive. So there's that little aspect of the day passing as the sun comes up. And the little bird has to make connections with all the other creatures. It has a wonderful moment when it's having its blossoms to eat. And in each case, the words are really good. Like, I circled with wind to reach the crimson blossoms. That's quite poetic, isn't it?
Yes.
I think that the illustrations are quite striking and very, very beautiful. And the illustrator does work in a community of Aboriginal people, Aboriginal artists. But it's quite beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely beautiful. And I guess what it does is it's very much an Indigenous look to the illustrations. But for a young child, I guess it'll be quite accessible.
Oh, so, definitely.
And it can help them, I guess, you know, get a better understanding and appreciation of Indigenous art that it sees beyond the book.
Well, you're right. I think this book is a really important book for the young child. It has the simplicity, but it has the depth as well. And you can imagine if you were reading this and sharing it with the child, you would add other comments that you'd want to make. Mm. So quite special.
On Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, we're talking children's books with creatures in them. We've had Deb send us a text on 0467 922 666, just in response to When Billy Was a Dog. Deb says, When Billy Was a Dog is simply wonderful. I fell in love with it.
Terrific.
And so, Belle, what else do you have for us? So that was Sally Morgan's Little Bird's Day, and now we're looking at sheep.
Well, we all know the story of, if you can't sleep, what do?
You count sheep.
You count sheep. Okay. So that's what happens with Amos. So he's a little boy and he's in bed, sheep. He's counting one, two, and all of a sudden, whack, down on the floor comes a sheep saying, you've disturbed my dinner. I was having dinner. Why are you calling me? He said, why don't you call pigs, for example? And the little boy said, he was really quite surprised. And then the sheep says, well, get on with it, build a fence. And the little boy says, a fence? He said, well, you don't think we're just going to jump over stuff, do you? You need to build us a fence. So here's Amos, and he's putting up his toys and his doll, his trucks and all kinds of things. And the sheep says, no, that's too low, too high, too wobbly. And by that time, you know, the little boy is actually quite tired.
And, you know, when you're tired, you don't want to deal with a demanding sheep, for goodness sake, Belle.
And so towards the end, they told him he has to practice, so he has to jump over all of that. By that time, he's absolutely exhausted, falls dead asleep. And here's the last page where all the sheep have come together and they're having a marvelous, wonderful banquet. It's very funny. It's very fresh, very inventive. I don't think I've seen one like this before. It says, let me sleep, sheep. And it's by Meg McKinley, who is a very versatile writer. She writes across the age range, wonderful picture books and novels, too, that are special. And Leela Rudge is the illustrator, and she's actually does quite a lot of work as well. So we're really quite lucky to have this team.
And so is this one, would you say, for like the 5-year-old up with age
group? Yeah, probably about so, because it's a little bit of a long text, but because it's so funny and because it's quite engaging, you could read it, you know, if children have been sharing books with their parents from a very young age, you'd be amazed at how early their attention span lengthens ready for books like this one.
And I'm guessing that the before bed read, where you actually want your child to say, I just want to sleep, when usually it's the opposite problem.
That's right.
For many of us.
Yes.
This one might be a good one for that time of day.
I think so.
You're on Afternoons, and with you is Dr. Belle Alderman. She is from the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. And the final book that you have for us, Belle.
Well, now, I have to warn you, there's a little bit of a sadness, a tinge of sadness.
Okay. I'll take a deep breath.
I'm
feeling big and strong.
The title of this book is One Endless Night, and it's written and illustrated by Christina Booth, who lives in Tasmania. And so, not surprisingly, she is intrigued by the story of the thylacine, one of the animals that Australia, very sadly, has now extinct. So she's retelling the story as she imagines it. We don't really know whether the thylacine, the last one that died in 1936 at the zoo in Tasmania, whether it was a male or a female. But she's chosen to tell the story as if it was a female. And so you get the feeling of their hunting, her looking after her brood of animals. And then she's caught and trapped and taken to the zoo. And that's where you really begin to feel quite sad. But just reading you the language, which is quite beautiful. Where the mist swallows mountains and wild winds whisper through ancient trees, myths and legends are born. Their forest here where no one has trod, and creatures run free in endless rain and deep, dark bush. There's a beautiful sense of the animals and the place where they lived. But when you get to the place where the animal has been trapped, then you begin to feel, you know, quite sad and taken. Here he is, where his stripes are much like the stripes in the cage. And she forgets where she's from. She forgets how to hunt. And unfortunately, this is a true story. There was a freezing temperature one night, and the zookeeper just forgot to put the animals in shelter, and the thylacine died. That was the last one. Mm, there's also a small postscript in the back that shows that these animals were hunted as bounty. So this is a book that you would want to explore with children who have some knowledge. You wouldn't, you know, this is not a book that you say, hey, we're going to read this really funny, really exciting book about a thylacine. No. This is the kind of book that I would be preparing children for. But we know that there are children who care deeply about animals, who care deeply about their environment. And that's when a book like this is really a welcome book, because it's based on fact. And it's beautifully illustrated. It's done as digital art, which surprised me. I thought perhaps it was painted. They're just gorgeous.
And there's quite, it's a lot of dark colours, really, that they're using.
It's very dark.
But, yeah. You know, we're talking about extinction here, you know, so I guess it's an example, a real example that kids can look at when it comes to extinction, given that it's in the news so much as well, even today, you know, we're seeing on Four Corners that they're doing stories on extinction. Look at me struggling to even say the word at this time of day. But I guess, you know, having that real example and a story to help the kids understand it.
I personally think that books are the fabulous way to share something that is new or old or scary, something that helps us steel ourselves or help us build up our resilience, our hope, or our strength. And you can do this at a very young age, starting from the very, very youngest. I saw this wonderful write-up of a little brother who was about 2.5. And he had some books that he absolutely adored, but he had a little new baby brother who looked about 7 months, and he was sharing his favorite books with that little brother. And they were sitting there with their arms around each other and poring over the book. And I thought, yes, this is what we want to do with children's books, share them.
Well, Belle, we're so glad that you shared them with us today. That is Dr. Belle Alderman. She is Emeritus Professor of Children's Literature and Director of the National Centre of Australian Children's Literature. And that final book that she was sharing with you is One Careless Night, and it's by Christina Booth. You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra.